This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Here's Matt. Guns it. Caught. First touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown Calvin Ridley. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
We are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, hanging out today, getting ready for the SEC Championship game. And we're about to talk to our man Dave Archer in regards to the Falcons and the Bucks, Mike. We just got done with Steve Coonan. Hawks play tonight as well against the 76ers down at State Farm. It's a busy weekend, man. Lots of stuff going on. Hawks also have a game on Sunday against Charlotte, as Steve Coonan noted. Let's bring in Dave Archer on the WayForward.com hotline, guys. Jim Ellis, by the way, Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw, where you can build your Kia your way, brings you Dave Archer, and learn more at JimEllisKia.com. Arch, I find this interesting that you look at the standings, and as you know, bad as the losses have been for our team, we're in the hunt. We had on Arthur Smith earlier this week, and we said, Coach, we're right here. And he said, yeah, I know. This is a big game this weekend, Archer, on Sunday against these Buccaneers.
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. I mean, anytime you're in the hunt in December, that's kind of where you want to be, right? We've seen a number of teams that kind of found their stride late in the season. You go back to that 16 team, they were 7-5 coming off the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs in their own building, and they found a way to kind of catch fire and get going. And even the Green Bay Packers back in that 2010 season, I think the Packer team that came into Atlanta and won that playoff game was a team that caught fire late in the season. That we've seen the Giants do it. Giants, 9-7 Giants team, it kind of caught fire late in the season, got a run into the playoffs, and all of a sudden, you know, you look up and they're a Super Bowl champ. So I'm not saying it's a Super Bowl champion football team, but you don't know. You know, you got to go play the games, and what better way to find out kind of where you are now late in the year is you get the Super Bowl champs come to your building. And this is a team that you had at 28-25 going to the fourth quarter, and things got sideways because you didn't take care of the ball. So I think they're very much capable of playing with Tampa. I think Tampa, everybody thinks it's an 11-point, I think, spread or something like that. It doesn't mean anything. It's do you come and bring your best game? If you do, then it's going to be into the fourth quarter with a chance to win.
We were looking at some of the scoring lines from that game, and Calvin Ridley had a touchdown. He was targeted 10 times. Can Cordero Patterson pick up that slack, or can you run the ball with Cordero Patterson? Obviously, great success last week hitting the 100 yards. Can you try to get some of that against the Bucs?
Well, remember, Cordero scored in that game, too, if I'm not mistaken. He had a little jump. Ryan got him the football, and he got in the end zone there, and that was, I think, followed up by a Ryan two-point conversion run on zone read, which surprised everybody as well as he dove over the top to get in the end zone. Yeah, I think that, Mike, there's enough people on this team to make enough plays to win the football game. Kyle Pitts has got to show up. You got to get the ball to Kyle Pitts. He had seven catches against Miami 6 weeks ago. In the last five games, he's had 14 grabs total. I mean, he's got to be involved in the game. You got to get him the football. He's got to be a factor. You got to make Tampa defend him, make them be worried about him. That provides opportunities for other guys to make plays. But you're going to have to use everybody. There's no question. It's all hands on deck, and they'll have to play as good a game as they've played all year long to beat Tampa. But I think they're certainly capable of doing that. But you got to eliminate the mistakes. You know, you can't have the stupid penalties that put you behind the chains, those type of things. Cannot turn the football over against this Tampa team. They're number four in the league in takeaways with 23 takeaways on the year. They feed on takeaways. It's a team that last weekend, you know, they won the football game against an Indianapolis team. Indianapolis turned the ball over five times, and they had to score at the end of the game to win the football game to Jacksonville. So if you take care of the football, you're going to be in the mix down the stretch now.
Just as a follow-up, as we talked with Arthur Smith on Wednesday about Kyle Pitts, we asked him about the interception and should he try to get back to the football. Is this like everything arched from the rookie wall that gets hit to just he's learning and are the defenses taking things away? Because Campbell did a pretty good job of D'ing him up in the Jacksonville game.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of stuff, Mike. It's never one thing that eliminates a player from your consciousness or eliminates a player from making plays. I think that certainly, Kyle, it's been a long season already for these young guys. We're playing a ton of young dudes. Think about how many young players are playing in this season for you, the rookies and even the second-year guys. I mean, Matt Hennessy is a guy playing center for you, and I know he alternated with Drew Dahlman last weekend. Matt Hennessy didn't start any games last year. I mean, he played a lot in the last couple of games of the year, but all of a sudden you look up and he started, you know, the preseason game. He started, he started in the regular season games as well, and now all of a sudden it gets to be a long season. So that's the case with all of them. But I just think it's a matter of them adjusting. They know that Kyle Pitts is a big-time player, and Kyle's got to step his game up. Where can he take his game that's going to provide a comfort zone that Ryan says, hey, I can shove the ball into this guy? So I think there's a lot of things that kind of combine to him being eliminated. He cannot be this month. He cannot be what he was in November, and that was really non-existent in November.
It is our man Dave Archer joining us here on the WaitForward.com hotline, talking about the Falcons. Falcons, Bucks right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Sunday, guys, live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So how does the Antonio Brown absence, I'm curious, as you've done the research here and looked at their offense, Arch, how much does that affect them, or does it, based on how their receiving core is played here? We know Mike Evans is the go-to guy, but Brown has, you know, certainly seen his spots. What do you think as far as the adjustment there with the offense for Tampa?
Well, I think that, you know, Gronkowski being back on the field is the big deal for them. I don't think the Antonio Brown thing is an overly big deal. Obviously, he's a good receiver. There's no question about that. Chris Godwin's been a guy that's broken Atlanta's back through the years. The last, he's played in six or eight games against Atlanta. Godwin's had a lot of success. I think he's got three or four 100-yard games against the Falcons. Gronkowski caught two touchdowns in the last time these two teams met in week three. So they've got more than enough weapons. The guy that to me has been a little bit of a catalyst for him. Remember, they lost two games in a row and didn't really play all that well, Tampa. You saw Brady turn the ball over. The emergence of Leonard Fournette is a little bit more of a force. He had 100 yards rushing last weekend. He's a guy that's caught a lot of passes out of the back. He's essentially their Cordero Patterson, if you will. He's been kind of that Swiss Army knife that has filled in the running game, and he's caught the ball in the backfield and kind of given that, you know, when you go back and look at Tom Brady in New England, you know, you had the James White guy. You had Kevin Falk out of the backfield, guys he loved throwing the football to. Leonard Fournette's become that guy. And so it's that safety blanket along with Gronkowski, those short passes that he can get out quickly, and a guy that can make something happen. So he'll be a guy that Atlanta will really have to take care of, as Leonard Fournette has kind of come into his own as a Tampa Bay Buck.
It is Dave Archer, the Idaho Rail Splitter, joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. He and Wes Trueham will have the call, of course, Sunday right here on your Falcon. Arch will be part of the SEC game, by the way, championship. We're going to ask you about that in just a second. Arch, just real quick, we had Dante Fowler on the show yesterday. Dante said that probably he could do it all over again. He gave it the best effort, wasn't 100%. Chuck Smith said, well, that's part of the job. You got to be out there. You think this guy can actually be an impact the next couple of games? He's certainly financially motivated. Another 1.5 sacks, he gets $1 million added to his contract.
Yeah, I think that he needs to be, Mike. I don't think there's any question. You know, we obviously know why the regime before went and got him, because of the year he had in L.A., and you certainly thought you could maybe capture what he had going here in his career, but that didn't happen last year. And regardless whether he was hurt or not, I would agree that you got to go. If you're injured, it's one thing. If you're hurt, everybody's hurt. You got to go play, you know, and so you got to line up, and you give whatever you can. So you can give us 20 snaps, give us 20 snaps. Give us 15 snaps, and so be it. We'll get you out of the game if you're banged up that much where you can't help defend against the run. But in the passing game, he's got to be able to bend and go get the quarterback. We saw a little bit of that last week. He'll need to be a factor down the stretch for Falcons.
Arch, what's the key on Sunday? I mean, we were in the game. I mean, I know it's been a while.
Right.
As Falcon fans, you know, we were in the game down there in Tampa, and then, you know, catastrophe hit. And obviously, you know, those big plays were hard to overcome. But what happened Sunday, and more importantly, what's the key?
Well, I think the keys for me pretty simple, Carl. I think that can you get some semblance of what you did run game-wise last weekend? And this is a good defense that's number one in the league against the run. A lot of those numbers are skewed to the first 5 weeks of the season. If you look at their last 5 weeks, the first 5 weeks, they were giving up 47 yards a game on the ground. That's stalwart type stuff. The last 5 weeks of the season, they've given up about 112 yards on the ground. They gave up 107 yards to Indianapolis last weekend, and they've given up over 100 yards rushing in four of their last six games. So they've shown a little dent in the armor when it comes to stopping the run game. So can you get a little bit of what you had going last week where you ran for 149 yards against Jacksonville? That's going to lessen the pass rush and give Ryan a little bit more of an opportunity to operate out of play action, but certainly slow the pass rush down a little bit. So I think that if you could do that, you got to take care of the ball. That's number one. You can't turn the football over. That cost them last time. They had two pick sixes, and I think Ryan ended up with three interceptions. Now, one of them probably was a legitimate interception. Everything was tipped in the air, but still, the ball ended up in the other team's hands. You cannot turn the ball over. Like I said, this is a team that's fed on turnovers. On the other side of the football, to me, it comes down to can you eliminate the big plays down the field? We go back to the game in December of last year when Atlanta led 17-0 at halftime. I know, Mike, you were at that game. That was a team that went on and won the Super Bowl in in Tampa. But they were down 17-0 at the half. They had zero plays of 15 yards or more. They came out and won the game 31-17. They scored 31 second-half points. They had nine plays of 15 yards or more. They feed on explosive plays. They have 87 on the year, which is almost 25 to 30 more than the Falcons have. They cannot allow the explosive, make them earn their way down the field, put first downs together. I think they'll make some mistakes. Brady might throw you the football, but it's going to shorten the game as well because they're going to eat some clock, and you're going to get into the fourth quarter with an opportunity to win the football game.
All right, Squid Billy, our producer, says you have 15 seconds, Arch. Who's going to win the Georgia-Alabama game?
Well, I think the Dogs are going to find a way to win it, but make no mistake, Alabama's pretty good on defense, too. Everybody's talking about the Dogs' defense, and rightly so. But Alabama's number seven in the country on defense. They're number four against the run, which is what Georgia wants to do. This is going to be a fourth-quarter football game. It's going to be tight. I know Georgia fans are going to be sitting on the edge of their seat because Alabama's going to make a tight football game at the end.
Arch, I know you're going to have the call. Where's that going to take place, by the way? I want to make sure people give you a chance to check it out.
Yeah, it's on SEC Radio. I have no idea, Carl, where it's going to be.
We're going to be on
in this city. I think it's down the dial, and I don't think I'm allowed on this station to mention
gotcha.
The guys down the dial,
gotcha.
But I think that's where it is.
Satellite radio, guys. Satellite radio. Hey, man. Arch, take care. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you, brother.
All right, guys. Take care. See you.
Cool. That's Dave Archer. Hey, coming up, guys, Brian Jones, CBS. You watch him on Saturdays. We'll get a chance to talk with him and pick his brain a little bit about this game tomorrow, Mike. But as always, Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Yeah, man, this weekend, all the great football going down. Let Domino's do the cooking. Go to Domino's.com. Get your 1 in 14 chance at part of $50 million in free stuff like desserts and pizzas and more. Go to Domino's.com.
Hey, Brian Jones on the way. More SEC championship conversation here as we broadcast live from Buckhead. We're at Twin Peaks. Come on out and hang out with this guys here till 7. It's Dukes and Bell.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
You know, you can't let these guys loose in the ATL. Guys like this, man, they end up in Magic City or somewhere. You just never know, Mike Bell.
Yeah, man, I can't believe he's not with us at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We set the car. You were at the Omni. I don't know. The instructions got messed up. Brian Jones is with us from the SEC on CBS. We are surrounded by booty. As far as the eye can see, it's booty, booty, booty. And, Brian, you're not even here.
Booty, booty, booty everywhere, huh? It's all good. Well, I don't recall receiving that invite because, let's just leave it at that. But I would be right up. I'd be right up there in it, man.
Oh, my goodness. It's good to hear you, brother. Good to have you back on the show. Obviously, you're in town for the game tomorrow. You guys get a chance to watch him on CBS. All right. We keep saying this, so I want to get your opinion on this. We have said this for, I don't know, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's Georgia's year. It's their mm-hmm. time. They've done everything, Brian, possible to give you the confidence, if you're a dog fan, to say this is going to be different than what we've seen in years past with Alabama. Do you believe that?
different as far as them coming out on top. I do. I'm going to roll with the Dawgs, and I remind myself I was rolling with them last year, too, when they rolled into Tuscaloosa, played okay the first half, were leading, and didn't do a damn thing in the second half, and Bama went on to win another national title. But for the first time ever, guys, Georgia, I believe, has the edge in the trenches, and that should bode well for them. But Bama's no slouch defensively. While we're throwing all this lofty praise on Georgia's defense, and well deserved. I mean, historically dominant, allowing less than 7 points, and I think 7 touchdowns all they've allowed on defense, a couple rushing and 5 pass TDs. And so I think it is their year. The big question mark for me, though, will they have enough offense? Bama's allowing less than 3 yards per carry. They're giving up a few more in the passing game than they have previously. But Georgia has to do something offensively. So will they be able to run the rock versus Bama's D? Stetson Bennett, I believe the main reason he's still at the helm is because of his legs. He allows you a lot more flexibility with the quarterback runs. And can you stay away from mistakes? That's going to be the key for Georgia to get this W. But, yes, I'm going to say the Dawgs win. It's their time. And if they can't win it this year, they're never going to win it.
Right. And that has been the argument. As Brian Jones joins us, guys, you'll see him in studio for the SEC on CBS with the championship game tomorrow. Brian, the argument is Alabama, even though maybe they're not as dominant as years past, they're in games that are going down to the wire. They've got to play for 4 quarters, and Georgia, for the most part, has been in control of most of these games. Do you buy that narrative that Georgia will be pressed for the first time for 4 quarters?
They'll be pressed. They were pressed in the first game of the season. Remember, it was the defensive touchdown was the difference in the win versus in the start this 2021 season. So Bama and Georgia, when they link up, expect craziness. We've seen it, guys, the different storylines, the drama, whether it was Tua being inserted into the national title game, Jalen Hurts being inserted into the conference championship game because of the injury to Tua. So I've been wondering all year if JT Daniels is going to play have a Tua or Jalen Hurts-like moment for Georgia versus Bama. We'll see if that comes to fruition, but I expect it to be a close game. I would be surprised if anyone was blown out in this one, and that's just how it has gone when these two link up, especially on this stage. Of course, last year in Tuscaloosa, they blew it open, but on this stage, it's always been a close affair, and I expect nothing less than that come tomorrow. And the studio, by the way, Mike Bell, is in – gonna be in the Mercedes-Benz home. So that's his studio, which is great perks. And so still no excuse for me not to get the invite to come to Twin Peaks and pick up my steak that I've been trying to secure for about the last 5 years.
I know.
Hey, man, it's Brian Jones.
If there's interest on that steak, Carl, now there's 2 fillets on the side.
Yes, there is.
Hey,
no doubt.
It's a whole cow by now.
Hey, B, as we talk about Alabama, how crazy is it? I've gotten this from Bama fans, and I know you probably hear it too. They're 11-1, and it's like a down year for Bama. You got their fans disappointed and tripping about 11-1 season, and they're in the conference championship game again. I don't get it, Brian.
Dude, well, oh, what a feeling when you're champagne feeling, and that's what they do all the time, man. And that's why Nick Saban had to go off on them a week or so ago. Self-absorbed fans, and everyone would clamor to have an 11-1 season, double-digit wins each and every year, but he has set the standard so high. This guy is amazing, the consistency with which they play. And now Kirby Smart is developing that same consistency there in Athens. That's why I always liken him to Bama Light, because it's a similar formula. So, 11-1 is not good enough here. We want the Natty each and every year. And there's nothing wrong with having that as your goal, but you also have to keep things in perspective and understand that they give out scholarships to those other institutions as well. It's just a testament to the greatness of Nick Saban and his program.
Yeah, it's the narrative that we've been joking around. Kirby's got everything. The Kirby copter, hundreds of millions of dollars into the program, the resources, the facilities. If not now, when? Brian Jones is with us, guys. So if Georgia wins, Alabama wins, who's up next? You like Oklahoma State? Can those the other guys have got a shot? Do you think Notre Dame can backdoor in this thing?
Notre Dame could possibly backdoor into it. Don't leave out Ohio State sitting there after being pulverized via the ground game of Michigan if something were to happen in the Big Ten championship game. So there are some other scenarios floating around there. Since he goes down, of course, you know they're going to be out of it even with one loss. If we have chaos, the situation could be pregnant with possibilities. I don't foresee that occurring. I'm picking you, but if this is a close game, let's say this goes the way as it has in the past, where in overtime or as it did last week there on the Plains versus Auburn, if Bama loses a close affair, a number of overtimes, maybe they have a case to make saying, hey, we're still one of the top four teams. We just beat the number one team that's been drubbing everyone, and we played them fairly close, so we should still be in the playoff. So I think a lot of things could materialize if there's some chaos behind this particular ballgame.
Brian Jones, are we going to the wrong career field? You see all this money they're handing out to these coaches?
what was that Richard Pryor said? Money's like cocaine. Too much is never enough. I don't know about that first substance, but that green one. I think I might have to switch professions, even though I just signed an extension, or go ask for some more money, because it's amazing. But that's the big business of sports. So we pull back the facade. We pull back the curtain on what is the big business of sports, man. And that's why I'm so happy, ecstatic about kids being able to move around in this transfer portal, but be wise about it. You usually don't leave a job until you know you have another job, and because these coaches are able to move around, and more importantly, the NIL deals. And not everyone is going to benefit, but now we have the free market forces at play for the young men and women who are participating in these sports, just as we do for their coaches. So it's a huge, huge amount of money to spend, but once they expand this playoff, it's going to be even more money that's out there. And that's why these universities are able to make these huge, you know, outlays of cash, because they have these huge television deals that continue to grow. And college football is second to the NFL, man. And the brand loyalty is not going anywhere.
By the way, Brian, which more impressive, Lincoln Riley getting access to a private jet or so much money for Brian Kelly, he turned into a Cajun in 48 hours?
he must have been listening to Wale. He got that down south slang, baby. Oh my goodness, it's hilarious. He went from family to family. You know, we slow down over here at the south, baby. It's
family.
When you get that first bit of them grits, that dialect changes a little bit, man. I feel Lincoln Riley. Okay, access to a private jet. We got both of your homes, $500,000 above the market value. Oh my goodness! They really want it. Good to be wanted. Good to be the king. And both of those cats got some nice new deals.
No doubt. Well, Brian, have a great time tomorrow. We'll be watching, obviously. CBS guys, Brian Jones, and let's get a good game, man. Let's be entertained, and hopefully go Dogs. Yeah. Dogs finally get over the hump. Brian Jones, appreciate you as always, brother.
I couldn't get an invite. Can I at least get a picture or something? Can y'all share something? You know my number. Damn.
All right. We'll send you a text.
I'll hit you in the DM there, bro.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, B. Brian Jones, guys. We're coming back. We're talking more college football. What might the Dogs change going into this game tomorrow against Alabama? Find out next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Batted in the air, picked off. The Tigress ball picks another big man interception by Bama.
We're going to get it done.
Caught, touchdown. The Dogs answer quickly.
It's time for
Dukes and Bell to talk all things college football. This is the Road to the College Football Playoff with Dukes and Bell.
Oh, it's on tomorrow. SEC Championship game down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Dogs and Alabama. What do you think is going to happen? Mike and I have been talking about it all day. Thanks to Brian Jones for stopping by from CBS Sports. You watch him on Saturdays, guys, and you'll get a chance to watch him from down there. I think he said they're broadcasting from the Perch.
Yeah, they're going to have a corner somewhere, probably AT&T Perch over there in the end zone, yeah.
And before we talk about what the Dogs could change going into this game against Alabama, because, again, guys, when I say change, they're not changing their scheme or anything, but you make tweaks, Mike, when you go into these games. You've been saying it. Saban isn't the almighty when it comes to tweaking things. Give Kirby some credit. He may go into this game and tweak a few things.
Well, I mean, if Kirby loses this football game, Georgia's obviously not out of it because they're going to still be in the mix. They'd be probably the 4 seed in all likelihood, depending on how things go with the other big games, including that Oklahoma State. But, yeah, I just think, you know, this is what Kirby's been paid for. Kirby's been paid for to create, and he has created everything but the natty.
Yep.
Everything is in place. Everything is there. Everything you'd want, Carl, as far as recruiting. I mean, you're recruiting so well, you made Dan Mullen get fired. You know what I mean? Think about that down in Florida. So now it's just time, as we've used the phrase for the fifth time today, to dot the I, cross the T, and let's bring that natty to Athens. I just think, and it's funny, hearing the analyst, Arch talked about it, you heard Brian Jones, that, you know, Alabama's no slouch on defense, but they have not necessarily passed the Alabama eye test. When you see them, how they played in Arkansas. Arkansas takes them late in the fourth quarter. The Florida game in Gainesville. What just happened to Jordan Hare? It's just, it's still a really good defense, but it's not what we're used to seeing with Alabama, which I think that makes some people say this is the time for Georgia. By the way, I just think, let's talk about what they haven't seen. They haven't seen anybody like Jordan Davis.
No.
They haven't seen anybody, you know, when you think about what Georgia's going to bring that linebacker court. Now, the secondary, maybe not as good as Alabama's, but the front seven, certainly.
Well, those linebackers run as good as anybody in the country. Matter of fact, maybe as good.
I mean, N'Kobe Dean is arguably the best linebacker in the country.
First-round pick. You've got six guys that will be playing on Sunday. I think you got 3 first-rounders, but potentially 5, Mike, for sure. Mm. Here's the deal, though, guys. As we talk about adjustments, Connor Riley from Dog Nation joins us on a weekly basis. We asked him this question about, do the Dogs make any changes going into this Bama game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just this defense is so great. And this Alabama offensive line, you want to look at the biggest difference between this year and last year. It's not no Waddle. It's not no Devontae Smith. It's not no Mac Jones or Najee Harris back there. This Alabama offensive line might just outright be bad. And last year, that offensive line was dominant. You look at the second half of that game. The reason Georgia's defense stopped stopping them was because they stopped getting pressure. Alabama gave up a ton of pressure last week to Auburn, gave up 7 sacks in that game. Georgia's got to have to get after the quarterback. And to do so, they might have to play a little bit more man-to-man than they necessarily want to. I think the health status of Chris Smith, it's very much worth watching in this game. He's been battling a bone bruise on his knee, has missed the last, I believe, 2 games for Georgia there. Sound like he practiced on Monday. We'll know more when we talk to Kirby again tomorrow. If he's able to play, I think that's going to do a lot for the secondary because it gives them more depth and allows them to do more things out there. But the biggest difference in what Georgia might do, and they have 41 sacks this season, the most they've ever had under Kirby Smart in a single season. We've seen against Bryce Young, if you pressure him, he can have an off game. They did not score a touchdown for the first 58 minutes and 30 seconds last week against Auburn. If you pressure him, I think you can really take away this Alabama offense.
That is Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Now, we also talked to Danny Cannell this week, Mike, as we talk about this game tomorrow. And Danny Cannell just put it plain and simple. He thinks Georgia is better.
I think they will. It does. It feels like, I don't know if you guys remember, like LSU in 2019, it felt like LSU's year. Like Joe Burrow, Joe Brady, the offense was awesome. He threw for 60 touchdowns, and it just felt like it was their year. I think it's starting to feel the same with Georgia, except it's the exact opposite script. You know, this is Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean and, you know, that defense and Kirby Smart, defensive-minded coach. It's starting to feel like it's their year. And I think there's also an incredible ebb and flow, like this chess match that takes place in college football. And it takes place within a game with, you know, an offense and defense, but it also takes place over time. And I think what you've seen Kirby Smart do is play his chess hand and not try to chase. And he took some criticism, for myself included, and it still remains to be seen. he's not out there chasing a quarterback that's throwing for 400 yards a game and throwing for 60 touchdowns. He's saying, I'll take my guy, Stetson Bennett, who's not going to turn the ball over. We're going to run the football, and we're going to beat you with our defense.
It's the first time that Alabama, as we've talked about all week, is not the favorite in 92 games. And, Saban is a master getting most out of these guys. And I would love to have been a fly on the wall at practice this week after that Auburn game. But I don't know, man. You and I have talked so much about Georgia from the first time you and I worked together back in 14. And you said, what's the difference between Georgia and Clemson? I said, there is no difference. Clemson is Georgia. Their best days were 1980 and 81. They've come close. They've had good – they put guys in the NFL. Clemson got there first. I just think this is Georgia's time now. The same thing that, Dabo built the machine with great assistance, recruiting the facilities. Kirby's finally doing that now. And, again, this should culminate with, boom, getting it done, especially in a year when you get outside the SEC where the college football world is so upside down. This would be so – and do you agree? You and I were talking about this earlier in the week. If you can win this game tomorrow – not that the floodgates open, but it's a mental block that's finally burst through that wall.
No, listen, there are obstacles in everybody's life, whether whether it's personal, business, whatever.
Right. And Jordan had the Pistons.
You're able to overcome those moments. It gives you the confidence to believe that you have arrived. And for Georgia, here's the thing. It's funny because as Georgia fans, we're all caught up in what happened in the past. Kirby's right about this. The history of what happened the last 3 years, even last year's regular season game, they don't mean diddly squat.
Right.
Tomorrow, you got a bunch of guys in the locker room who could care less about what happened in 17, 18, or 2020. So I think the idea is this group has to believe that they can get over the top. And if they do, Mike, then, yeah, I think it does open up the floodgates. I do agree with you on that. I think you have to get past some of these mental blocks in sports where you got to beat the people in front of you. Alabama has been that big dog in front of Georgia for the last 7 years or so as Georgia has continued to ascend to a national championship.
I would love to see Stetson Bennett, after all the conversations we've had since he took over for JT Daniels. This is a guy that, we've kind of just pat him on the head. Nice job, Stetson. But the guy gives you that element. He can run. He can get outside the pocket. You think they're going to move him around, by the way?
Potentially, because he can't do that. And I think they're going to
play. Sometimes he's better on it. It's like remember Butch Cassidy, the Sundance kid? He's better when he moves to be honest with you.
Hey, man, we got plenty more to get to, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks. We're going to come back top three at 6. We'll get you caught up on the latest. And by the way, I think the Saints are done. We just found out what happened to Taysom Hill last night. And it looks like he's going to need surgery, which means they're looking for their quarterback.
Oof.
Two quarterbacks now possibly out. We'll tell you more about that, more about the Hawks tonight in action, as well as the Falcons on Sunday. It's Dukes and Bell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.